I felt sure, Ken, you would lead that song tonight. I think there is a song about Joshua in our book, but I don't believe I know it either. I announced this morning that we would be looking tonight at the life of Joshua. And I suggested to you that maybe this afternoon you would like to spend some time studying about Joshua, and I'm sure some of you did. We're most familiar with Joshua. Ken already beat me to the punch because Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. Joshua was also one of the two spies that brought back the positive news when they searched out Canaan's land in the very first place. But there are a lot of other wonderful lessons that we can learn from Joshua. So let's look at some of those lessons tonight, and then we will make our application. And let me go ahead and give you the application now. Joshua's growth and service came because of his faith. Every story, every incident that we look at tonight, I want you to remember to consider Joshua's faith. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Joshua knew what God wanted, and he applied that to his life. Therefore, when Joshua needed to be a faithful leader of God's people, he was ready. When he was needed to be just a faithful servant of God, he was ready, all because of his faith. So let's learn about the faith of Joshua. Let's look at some of the incidents in Joshua's life and see if we can't make that application. Now, several things we know right off the top. We'll make these as introduction remarks, and then we'll get into our lesson where we can make some application comments. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. I don't think I have any issue. I don't think you'll have any issue with me referencing him that way. He was with Moses for years and years and years, and though maybe Joshua didn't realize it, God was always preparing him to take Moses' place when it was time for Moses to step aside. So he was always recognized as a close friend, a protege, a learner of Moses, and he became that, and that's one reason we know him so much. My personal favorite story is where he and 11 others, Joshua and Caleb and 10 others, and since we're more relaxed on a Sunday night, we did this with Elijah a few weeks ago, I might ask you a few questions. In fact, let me ask you this question. We know there were 12 spies that spied out the land. Joshua, Caleb. Can you name even one of the others? Well, the only reason I can, is because I learned that so that I could ask this question from time to time. But brethren, we don't remember the losers. We don't remember those who have a lacking of faith. We remember Joshua and Caleb. So they were sent into the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey. They saw those men who appeared to be as giants. They also saw that this was God's desire for them. And when they came back, this is Numbers 14, beginning with verse 6. And I'll try to pause a moment, because we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures. Numbers 14, beginning with verse 6. They brought back this 10 negative, 2 positive. And the Bible says, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothing. They rent their clothing. This was a sign of great contrition. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us." And I think we can say, if the Lord is pleased with our faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. But Joshua's service to God actually started much, much earlier than that. You remember when the Israelites had just left Egypt? I don't remember the exact time frame. They hadn't been out of Egypt very long. And they came to the base of Mount Sinai. And God requested for Moses to come upon the mountain so that he could give the Ten Commandments. Did you remember, or did you study today, that Joshua was with Moses? He was with Moses as he ascended. He was with Moses as he came down. Let's read about that. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 20 is where God gives the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. We're in chapter 24, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach the people." So Moses rose and his assistant, Joshua, his assistant, his friend, his protege, Joshua, and they went up to the mountain of God. We skip over now to Exodus 32, several chapters over. Exodus 32, I begin reading with verse 17. And Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people and they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But Moses said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing," some translations say, "merrymaking that you hear." So Joshua was alert to these things. Now, the very first time we have a mention of Joshua is back in Exodus 17, verse 9. You will remember the Amalekites. The Amalekites were a constant enemy of the children of Israel. You remember that Saul had a tremendous problem with the Amalekites. God told him to utterly destroy the people, and yet he did not. So that's the Amalekites. Their king is called Amalek. So the Amalek was the king of the Amalekites. We're in Exodus 17. I begin reading with verse 9. And Amalek came and fought with Israel. And Moses said to Joshua, that's the first time we're introduced to him, "Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek and the Amalekites. Today I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to them and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur — some people think that's where Ben-Hur's name came from. It's certainly not him. But Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, when he got tired, the Amaleks prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. So he sat upon it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. Now that's our introduction. Let's get into our points that we will make from which we'll make our application. We're actually going to begin in the book of Joshua, the very first chapter of the book of Joshua, the first several verses there. And as you're turning to Joshua chapter 1, let me go ahead and say, incidentally, the name Joshua, the Old Testament name Joshua, is equivalent to the New Testament name Jesus. That's why sometimes you hear that referenced in some religions today. It means God saves. So Joshua's name means God saves. Jesus' name means God saves. All right, we're in Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." And then we skip down to verse 9. Skip into verse 9 just a little bit. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, brethren, this was always God's plan. He was going to replace Moses at one point or another. We know the story how Moses was given opportunity to go up on the mountain and see the promised land, but he was never allowed to enter. Joshua, therefore, took Moses' place, and Joshua was given the privilege of leading the Israelites into the promised land. But brethren, we in the church, we in the conservative wing of Christianity, and that's where we are, those of us who believe so strongly in the teaching of the Bible need to take heed from what God told Joshua. We need to be strong. We need to be of good courage. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be dismayed, for God is with us. And though I foresee, and I think probably all of us foresee, even more and more problems for conservative Christianity, more and more problems for the church, we've got to remain strong. It's almost like it runs in cycles. The cycle right now is almost at the very bottom. I don't know how it can get much worse than it is now. But we need to remain strong until that cycle starts going up again. So our first point. Joshua was always faithful to God. When I use the word faithful, I mean full of faith. Joshua was always faithful to God, even in his youth. Exodus 33:11, you don't need to turn to it, says that Joshua was a young man. And the Bible says, you're familiar with this also, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. You remember Paul also told Timothy, let no one despise you because you are young. Brethren, the young people, we used to hear, they're the future of the church. No, they're the church right now. We've got young people here tonight, and I'm not trying to embarrass Ben. I would never try to. And Job's here too. I see his hand held there. I'm not trying to embarrass Ben. Ben helped with the table. Ben read the scripture. We need young men like that, because a lot of our older men, we reach the point that we just cannot do that anymore. So let no one, Ben, I'm going to have to single you out. And Job too. Let no one despise you just because you're young. Just do what you know you need to do in the days of your youth. And of course, we use Jesus as our example. We're familiar with Luke chapter 2, where Mary and Joseph have made a, they've already gone quite a bit away from Jerusalem. They find that Jesus is not with them. They come back to Jerusalem. They're looking for Jesus. And beside the dialogue, what was Jesus doing? I must be about my Father's business. Well, brethren, Jesus' Father is our Father. We need to be about our Father's business as well. Now, let's be honest in our study. You know, one thing that I see when I study the Bible is one of the proofs that the Bible is inspired of God is that he shows us the good in people, but he shows us the bad in people also. He doesn't leave out the fact that Peter made some mistakes and others made mistakes. He doesn't leave that out. David certainly made mistakes. And Joshua made a mistake. Numbers chapter 11, I'm going to let you read that for yourself. But in Numbers chapter 11, he made a mistake. But notice when you study that, what Moses says. He made a mistake because of his zeal. He got carried away because of his zeal. You remember not long ago we were studying in Mark chapter 9, verse 38 through 40, when the apostle John told Jesus, there's some people performing miracles. There's some men performing miracles, and we don't know who they are. And he made a mistake there, but it was because of his zeal. Brethren, we've got to be people of zeal. We've got to be on fire for the Lord, but we've got to temper that zeal with patience and knowledge and love and maturity. Our next point, I've already stated this, but Joshua always expressed his faith in God. He never cowered back in expressing that faith. We've already read Numbers 14, verses 5 and following. As a result of Joshua and Caleb giving that good report of all the people 21 years and older, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones to enter the promised land. What happened to those 10 spies? They died in the wilderness. What happened to the people who listened to those 10 spies? They died in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb were rewarded. Now, brethren, you and I don't have an obligation to spy out the land. We don't have that responsibility. But we have an obligation to remain faithful to the Lord. That's the lesson that we learn. We have that as an obligation. In Matthew 17, verse 20, I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit. Jesus here is also talking about faith. And he said, if we have just the faith of a mustard seed, and I don't know if you've ever seen them. You can hardly see them. They're so small. If we have true, genuine faith, even that small amount, we can do anything that we want to do for the Lord, as Paul will later write, because Jesus will give us that strength. Nothing is impossible for us. I say this understanding the way the situation of the world is. We still can convert America. We still can grow as a congregation. We just have to do it in faith. And then our final point. Due to Joshua's faith, because of his faith, because of his faithfulness, God used Joshua to accomplish great things. We've mentioned most of the great things that Joshua did. He led God's people. He fought the battle of Jericho. He did a lot of other wonderful things. But brethren, the same faith that Joshua had that allowed God to use him is the same faith that we can have ourselves. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, this is very touching. This is when Moses is preparing Joshua to take over. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all of Israel, everyone heard this, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. But then, do you realize, if I'll single out Robin, she was baptized recently. Do you realize that if we ever even ask her a question, gave her an answer, talked to her about attendance, studied the scripture with her, do you realize that part of her salvation is in our crown of everlasting glory? Now, I read a moment ago from Joshua chapter 1 where God told Joshua to be strong. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Now, listen closely. If we will dedicate our life to God, God will use us to perform great things. Don't shake our head and say no. If we will dedicate our lives to the Lord as Joshua did, God will help us do great things for him. Because, and here's our application, Christianity is a lifelong service. It's not be faithful for a few years. It's not be faithful for several years. It's be faithful for the rest of your life, whether that's a few years or several years. Be faithful for the rest of your life. And Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of everlasting life. Mark 8, verse 35, and whosoever shall save his life, he's talking about our physical life. If we're only interested in our physical life, we're going to lose it. But if we're interested in teaching the cause of Jesus and sharing the gospel with others, the same will save it. And I conclude with Romans 12, 1 and 2, one of our favorite passages. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You probably have the next verse memorized also. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, if we will give our lives to the Lord, just as Joshua gave his to God, God will work mightily in our lives as well, and work mightily in our congregation as well. I did not mention first principles, but I think everyone here knows exactly what Jesus' invitation is about. So if anyone needs to respond, won't you do so now as we stand and as we sing this song?